This opportunity that we have this morning is really due to Mati and Ezer being flexible. There were some who wanted to have a little bit more time in the Garden of Gethsemane to read, meditate, think, and pray. So we expressed that to them this morning, and they've shuffled some things and made it possible. Normally, you're not allowed to come in here. This is private. You could see on the gate. They called ahead. They made arrangements for us to have the opportunity to come in here. You can see that we're not being overrun with crowds. We have an hour here to 9:20. So at 9:20, we need to be ready to go. A couple of things that I want to do. First of all, I want to mention the church that takes care of this property made special provision for us to be able to come in here. They've asked that if anyone would like to make a donation, it'll go in this bag. All right? So I think for us to show our appreciation in that way would be a good thing. Second thing I want to do is a bit unusual. I don't want to give you a class. I want to read you a passage. I want to read the entire length of the prayer that the Lord prayed in this garden, in John 17. Before he went into his agony, before he was over here praying and sweating drops of blood, he prayed what we call the high priestly prayer. You remember we were in the upper room. We started the upper room discourse. Generally, we say that the upper room discourse is John 13 through John 17. But we'll find out why really the last part of that is here. If I can find my glasses, I'll be set. You know, getting old is pretty bad, but it beats the alternative. So without comment, I'll just mention that at the end of John 14, he's been talking to them in the upper room. He starts the message of the upper room discourse. As I mentioned yesterday, the theme of that discourse is the love of Christ. Just to quickly review, you remember that he demonstrated his love by washing them, cleansing them. Then he gives them a commandment. John 13, verse 34 and 35. This is my commandment, that you love one another just as I have loved you. By this all men will know you're my disciples, if you have love for one another. It doesn't surprise me that the church has had so little impact in the world, because this is the one thing we haven't done. Many times I feel like we should just shut up until we can show the love of Christ. So this is the greatest witness that the church can have. How are we to do this? How in the world can you and I, with our limitations, love one another as Christ loved us? He makes a provision. Three times, chapter 14, chapter 15, chapter 16, he talks about sending the Holy Spirit. He says the Holy Spirit has been with you, but now He'll be in you. He is the Spirit of truth. He will guide you into all truth. He will bring to your remembrance the things that I have said to you, Jesus said. So after the command, he gives us his provision to fulfill the command. And then he explains the practical aspect of how this is going to happen as you move into John 15. By now he's left the upper room. By now Jesus and the disciples are walking down toward the Mount of Olives. And they're probably passing by some vineyards. And so in John 15 he says, I am the vine, the true vine. You are the branches. Abide in me, and I in you. Except you abide in me, you can do nothing. But if you abide in me and I in you, you will bear much fruit, and by this my Father will be glorified. And the one specific thing I think is so interesting, when he talks about abiding, that is the real evidence of abiding in Christ is in verse 7 of John 15. If you abide in Him, whatever you ask will be done for you. Your prayer is going to be effective. And then in verse 8, the Father will be glorified as your prayer life bears fruit. That's really the context. And then you move into chapter 16 and He warns them that the world is going to hate them, but not to be concerned because He has overcome the world. And that brings us up to John 17 and He begins to pray His high priestly prayer. So if you're ready in John 17 now, I'm just going to read through the entire text. Beginning in verse 1, Jesus spoke these things, and lifting up His eyes to heaven, He said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify Your Son, that the Son may glorify You. Even as You gave Him authority over all flesh, that to all whom You have given Him, He may give eternal life. This is eternal life, that they may know You, the only true God, and Jesus Christ whom You have sent. I glorified You on the earth, having accomplished the work that You have given Me to do. Now, Father, glorify Me together with Yourself, with the glory which I had with You before the world was. I have manifested Your name to the men whom You gave Me out of the world. They were Yours, and You gave them to Me, and they have kept Your word. Now they have come to know that everything You have given Me is from You. For the words which You gave Me I have given to them, and they received them, and truly understood that I came forth from You, and they believe that You sent Me. I ask on their behalf. I do not ask on behalf of the world, but of those whom You have given Me, for they are Yours. And all things that are Mine are Yours, and Yours are Mine, and I have been glorified in them. I am no longer in the world, yet they themselves are in the world, and I come to You. Holy Father, keep them in Your name, the name which You have given Me, that they may be one, even as We are. While I was with them, I was keeping them in Your name, which You have given Me, and I guarded them, and not one of them perished, but the son of perdition, so that the Scripture would be fulfilled. But now I come to You, and these things I speak in the world, so that they may have My joy made full in themselves. I have given them Your word, and the world has hated them, because they are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. I do not ask You to take them out of the world, but to keep them from the evil one. They are not of the world, even as I am not of the world. Sanctify them in the truth. Your word is truth. As You sent Me into the world, I also have sent them into the world. For their sakes I sanctify Myself, that they themselves also may be sanctified in truth. I do not ask on behalf of these alone, but for those also who will believe in Me through their word, that they may be one, even as You, Father, are in Me and I in You, that they may be in us, so that the world may believe that You sent Me. The glory which You have given Me, I have given to them, that they may be one, just as We are. I in them and You in Me, that they may be perfected in unity, so that the world may know that You sent Me and love them, even as You have loved Me. Father, I desire that they also whom You have given Me be with Me where I am, so that they may see My glory which You have given Me, for You loved Me before the foundation of the world. O righteous Father, although the world has not known You, yet I have known You, and these have known that You sent Me. And I have made Your name known to them, and will make it known, so that the love with which You loved Me may be in them, and I in them. And at this point, as chapter 18 continues, He crosses the ravine of the Kidron. His prayer was probably prayed somewhere just down here below us, and then He comes actually into the garden itself. Probably the garden actually extended a long ways in this area. We don't know. But these are the events that took place just before Jesus and the disciples entered in and he begins to pray in his agony. Let me just bring a couple of thoughts to your mind from the text that we've read to think about, to meditate on as we spend the rest of this hour in this place. Number one, eight times in John 17, Jesus speaks of believers as a gift the Father has given him. Christ considered you and considered me to be the greatest gift God could give him. I find that astounding. Absolutely amazing. That he would mention it. You remember eight is significant in Scripture as a number. Seven is the number of completion. Eight is the number of what? New beginning. This is the new beginning. This is the church now is being prepared for the day of Pentecost, the coming of the Holy Spirit, and so on and so forth. The second thing I want to emphasize, and it stands out so clearly, how is it evidence that God's love has been received and embraced and shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit? Over and over and over, he emphasizes it, that we may be one as he and the Father are one, that we may be perfected in unity. If you and I really want to be witnesses to Jesus Christ, I've gone through, I can't tell you how many evangelism courses, evangelism classes, I have never seen these two things given their proper place. Number one, receive and shed abroad the love of Christ. Let the love of Christ be seen in you. That's the number one thing. Number two, endeavor to maintain the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. Paul stresses this in Ephesians chapter 3. The word means to labor with all diligence to maintain the unity of the body. The body of Christ today is fractured. It's fractured because of arrogance. It's fractured because of self-centeredness. It's fractured because of elitism. It's fractured because of a desire to lift ourselves up by pushing someone else down. What is it that's going to maintain the unity of the body? It's going to take a willingness to follow the example of Jesus Christ, to stoop down, to wash the feet of those around us, to forgive as we have been forgiven, to love as we have been loved, and to embrace instead of thrusting away from us. This is something we don't see much in Christianity, thus the failure of Christianity to impact the world around us. We have come together from many different groups, many different parts of the country. We are in the land that God chose. How can you and I, in the time that remains to us, be the greatest witness to these people around us? I even noticed it yesterday. As we go to the various sites, and we are a group, and there's another group, and there's a frustration, and there's a jostling, and there's almost a resentment of that group as opposed to this group and so on. I'm not saying on your part, but I think probably you noticed some of it yesterday. I had one woman come by me and just very roughly thrust me aside so she could get where she was going. We all do this. This is a time for us to lower ourselves, demonstrate love, demonstrate grace, and let the world see it. If they see it, they might just be willing to hear about it. But until they see it, I think a lot of our talking is in vain. So carry those thoughts with you. I'm going to close with a short word of prayer, and then Leo will lead us in the song, A New Commandment. Perfect for this place. Father, how can we thank you for the love of Christ? How can we thank you for what you have done? Father, we thank you, we praise you. Our desire is that you would be glorified and honored in our lives. Make us more like Jesus Christ, so that without a word we might win those who resist the word, not because of what they hear or our ability to out-argue them, but because they have no defense against a transformed life. Father, these things we pray, not that we might be glorified, rather that we be sanctified, that Jesus Christ may receive the glory that's his due, and we thank you and praise you in his precious name. Amen.